Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know nothing of that nature. I met him the Packers game on the field. I saw him for a second in pregame. That's the first time I've ever met him. And that's it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is Ben Johnson. That is the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, speaking ahead of the games. And he's a guy that is well sought out in this hiring cycle. He was sought out last hiring cycle. He was asked some questions about the job stuff, and he didn't really say anything. The only thing he really said, and we're playing that because, of course, Tom's doing the game. Tom's hiring the coach in Vegas, and Ben Johnson is connected to that job.
And I have a huge problem with that being an inherent conflict of interest. I think that's a separate issue. It's not insignificant. It is an issue. I want to ask you this, though. If Ben Johnson is plan A for the Bears, like it sounds like he's plan A in Las Vegas, he might be plan A in Jacksonville as well. And we both talked to people around the league, and somebody told me yesterday that they believe, based on people they have spoken to, that Vegas and Jacksonville are teams that might be ahead of the Bears on Ben Johnson's list. That may be pure speculation. It might be informed speculation. But if you are Ryan Poles, if you are Kevin Warren, how big of a gambler can you afford to be? And is it a risk worth taking if you wait until the end of the process, nearer the end of the process, when you can actually meet Ben Johnson in person, wait until after the Lions lose, and offer him the job and see if he still likes you as much as you love him, and risk losing your second choice? And maybe it's Mike McCarthy.
Okay. See, this is the problem. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of speculation, and, you know, and the Vrabel thing was spot on. That was Vrabel was going to go to the Patriots. Patriots going to fire their coach and get through whatever hoops they had to jump, and that's the way they viewed the Rooney Rule requirements, clearly, and they were going to hire him. So I guess what I would ask, David, is do we know that there were bells in the air yesterday? Because, you know, Mike McCarthy's a guy that makes bells ring, according to Jerry, the first go around. I mean it. Like,
I think it went well.
And they had a great meal.
We both know Mike McCarthy. And he, you know, for all of his, you know, things about the public persona, he's a guy that is easy to see connecting one-on-one with a football guy or somebody who he's meeting and getting to know for the first time. Our sense would be the dinner probably went well, right? And if it did, That goes back to the question. Do you take maybe the guy who gives you a higher floor and forsake the chance to hire the guy that gives you a higher ceiling? Can you run the risk of Ben Johnson, you know, picking you when other options may be more appealing? Because as it was presented to me, and I think you probably have heard similar things, Ben Johnson might be intrigued by not only Tom Brady's presence in Vegas, but the fact that they have cleared out the front office and it would be an unimpeded path to power. And he could bring his own guy. Can't do that in Chicago. Ryan Poles is here. So Mike McCarthy probably had a good dinner, probably made a strong impression, and left the Bears with the idea that you can trust him to be competitive in a way that you're not right now. Do you take that, which is kind of like the sure thing, over the bigger payoff potentially, but it's all potential?
Okay, so if George was running this search, I would wonder if he made a commitment to interview someone. I think George would interview them. I think George would go through, if George were in charge of the search, I think George would go through every single interview, because mm-hmm. he had made them, he had scheduled them, he had told people, and he would do it. I think that's how he rolls. I don't know that the Bears roll that way, and I don't know that they would be willing to cut off their search for a candidate if it's Mike McCarthy or anyone else. And I don't, you know, there's a great Pogue song where the first line is, "In the pub where I was born." And the guy, and the great thing about Pogue songs is they're always singing in the songs, and there's a sing song that happens in the pub. Mike McCarthy grew up in a bar. Like, his old man was a fireman who became a bar owner in Pittsburgh. I think guys like that can relate to people, are used to talking to people. I don't know that George and Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are guys that could sit at a bar and talk to the barman. But I think Mike's like half psychiatrist. I think he appealed to Jerry for a reason.
All right, so I got to explore that.
Okay.
Because I don't disagree. I think Mike McCarthy's more affable than he's given credit for, when you see kind of the gruff demeanor in post games and maybe at press conferences where he's more stoic or more gruff or whatever the case may be. But how does that relate to the Pogue song? I want to know. Is there a lyric?
It's just there's a pub where I was born.
Okay.
And I'm saying when you're born in a pub.
He's more comfortable in that environment.
I think you can deal with people at a different level.
Yeah.
And I know that that sounds absurd.
No, it's
but
not.
I'm being honest. But I think if you have had to help out and do stuff like that, you learn to relate to all sorts of walks of life.
And you can communicate in all sorts of methods.
Yes.
And I think we saw, likewise, and this is a similar evidence or anecdote yesterday, as these stories about Mike McCarthy making the rounds, there was one I read about his approach to his team and how he relates to players, and how he was making a statement about how they were going to pound the next opponent, and he pulled out a sledgehammer in front of his team, and somebody brought in watermelons, and he took a sledgehammer to the watermelon, boom, and then he did it again, boom. And all of a sudden, he had watermelon on his pants. And then one of his players finished the job, and the team went crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that you do in a football setting, in a locker room setting. And it's very popular with players, and this way you connect and communicate. Your point, my point, the same one. A guy that understands how to communicate with his audience is a guy that may strike you as somebody who grew up in a bar, where you've got to be able to have all kinds of people that you find relatable, and a guy that can mix and match with depending on whoever he's talking to.
So the Bears are hiring Gallagher to be their next head coach?
This is beautiful.
Did you see that story? Yeah. It was a hilarious story.
I think of Jacksonville.
Jack Del Rio.
Jacksonville and the kicker who
the
like
kicker, he,
took an
Jack,
axe.
Jack Del Rio, their whole thing was chopping wood.
Keep chopping wood.
And they would take turns chopping wood, and the kicker like nearly sliced his leg off.
Yeah, he like did a shin injury, like a big-time shin injury, a contusion.
He chopped his shin off trying to chop some wood. That's exactly, as you told the story, that what is Dustin like mine.
I wanted to know more though.
From Gallagher, the new head coach of the Chicago.
Okay, Gallagher. Whatever.
No, but that I mean, as crazy as that is.
It was a story reported by Tom Pelissero by the NFL Network, And it was a Saturday night speech at the team hotel back in 2020. And he got up and he said, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands. At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer you could knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon, goes down the road doing this. The players are roaring. His pants are soaked. He finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I've got to get that one. Hands the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes the watermelon. Come on.
See, I mean, if it was Jack Del Rio, he would have smashed his foot.
I know. But that was powerful. It's
that's
fun.
Good. That's fun stuff.
And it tells you, it's kind of the same point you're making, is that, like, you got a guy that probably is more relatable and affable than we're giving him credit for being. And in that setting, you could see him wowing Warren, McCaskey, and Poles.
That's so funny.
If that's the foursome out
to
dinner.
Is that who went out to dinner?
Don't you think it would have had to be? Or is it just, do you think George went? That could be, I don't know. Maybe I'd leave George at home.
Really?
I might.
I think George should go. Otherwise, Kevin's going to dominate the conversation.
Let George sit in. Kevin's going to dominate every conversation. I'd let George sit in on the interview. I'd keep him at home. Might be a late one, George. And say, we got this. Take him out. Wine and dine. Get to know him. Have a drink. Relax. And talk real football. See what it's all about.
We have a texter checking in. Mike McGallagher. Rolls off the tongue.
Isn't that a great story, though?
It's fun. It's fun. No shadow of a doubt. Who is the? Well, motivational speech has gone wrong. Do you remember the one? I can't remember what high school it was. It might have been St. Viator. Maybe it wasn't. I forget where it was. But the guy like feigned his suicide at halftime.
Oh no!
Do you remember?
No,
that one?
I don't remember.
Oh
that one.
My God! He was trying to get the kids fired up. They ended up in counseling. It was just and the guy lost his job.
That would be traumatic. Yes.
Oh, holy mother of God! Did that?
There are limits.
Wrong?
There are limits. That, yeah.
Keep it with the watermelons. All right. 312-644-6767. Mike is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to say I love the show. Listen to you guys every morning. But I actually live down here in Dallas, and I don't mind Mike McCarthy being our next head coach. The more that I think about it, we always go the route of the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, and I just don't. That just worries me because I feel like we'll be down that same road again. But Mike McCarthy, man, he's a proven winner. The Cowboys, when he was coaching them, I don't feel like their roster was spectacular. They had they have Micah Parsons and they have CeeDee Lamb. You know, they had some really, really good position players, but not a great, great roster. And he took them to 12-5. Why can't he take our really good roster and do something actually in the playoffs? And then I feel like the Cowboys choking in the playoffs. That's always been the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys have been doing that, before Mike McCarthy got there.
Yeah, that's the quarterback needs some special.
That's a good point, Mike. I think thanks for the phone call. Dak Prescott is as responsible as anybody.
Well, that's what I'm
and Mike McCarthy gets a lot of blame for that, and I get it. But wouldn't you take 12 victories 3 years in a row?
I mean, holy God! the other thing is, did you hear Micah Parsons? He's upset.
Devastated.
Yes.
He sounded devastated.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean in terms of the player anecdote. Players love to play for this guy. And yes, by the way, Texter, they did win that game 31-28 over the Vikings when I referenced the watermelon smashing. And Micah Parsons sounded like a guy who was distraught over the next phase down in Dallas, and losing Mike McCarthy resonated with him. And that should matter as well. Green Bay, yeah, there was some McCarthy fatigue related to what happened in Chicago, though. Lovie Smith didn't win a Super Bowl. He got there. But by the end, there was a lot of Lovie fatigue after 9 years in Chicago. Sure. And getting rid of him, in retrospect, was a mistake, or at least we could call it that, even though at the time, we both remember, we felt like it was time.
The year before, they probably needed to make a move, and then probably they waited a year too long, and then he won 10 games, and that was crazy to fire him.
And it was crazy to fire him. Phil Emery, you didn't trust, but likewise in Green Bay, people got tired of McCarthy. It's just pro sports. After about a decade of the same thing, you tend to get tired, and there is some fatigue that sets in. So
look at Mike Tomlin.
Same thing.
They are. I know a ton of Pittsburgh fans that are fed up with they don't win in the playoffs anymore. Oh my God.
Oh my God. A lot of fans in Chicago would take him, you know, rather than McCarthy, rather than anybody else on the list. They would be doing cartwheels if you were able to hire Mike Tomlin. And if the Steelers don't want him, then the Bears would gladly take him.
Save your time.
The point is, thanks, Mike. The point being that, you know, you do look at both situations, Green Bay and Dallas, and maybe he has worn out his welcome. That doesn't mean he would not still be welcome in a place like House Hall.
Frank's in Lombard. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to put in my 2 cents for the coach. It's someone the Bears already have interviewed. I'm not quite sure why they haven't hired him before he gets snatched up. He has all the qualities the Bears are looking for. Previous coaching experience, success. He's won a Super Bowl, and he'll bring the one thing the Bears really need to their team, that's passion and excitement, and that guy is Steve Carroll.
Pete Carroll.
Yep, Pete Carroll definitely fits all the criteria. Frank, I appreciate the phone call. You're exactly right. It's hard to know.
They need a Legion of Boom.
They could definitely use that. Seriously. They have they have the secondary that we thought was maybe a modern version of the Legion of Boom earlier in the year. And
they lost Jaquan Brisker, of the boom with Brisker out.
And will he ever return and be that booming safety again?
You know, he could return and be that booming safety, but if he is, he could be out again.
Does he have to play differently?
You would think so.
So I don't know if you get the same boom for your buck if you do get Jaquan Brisker coming back. But at Pete Carroll, to Frank's point, he's impressive. Yes, he's proven. He's got a similar argument to be made for his candidacy as Mike McCarthy has, a guy that would raise your floor, give you some predictability, something the Bears definitely lack.
Texter says if Micah Parsons comes with him, that he's all on for Mike McCarthy.
Absolutely. You take him in a minute. Has he got a long-term contract yet?
Can they get that kid from Penn State, the next Micah Parsons?
Oh, Abdul Carter?
That kid was pretty good.
Wow. Huh? Wow. He is the second same coming. Number. Yeah. Same number, same school.
Yeah. Let's go.
Same kind of plays with reckless abandon, same approach.
Wow. Danny's in Chicago. Hey, Danny.
Oh, my 670 to score. What's going on, boys?
Hey, Danny.
Oh, it's all good, buddy.
Listen, I don't want to hear about the Legion of Boom. I'm talking about bringing the Monsters back from Midway to Chicago. Mike Tomlin is the answer for the Bears. He's got a great resume. And not to sound bogus, not to sound weird, but I think we need some coffee in our cream. I think being a black coach, I think these players will respond a lot better. And that he's well-respected. Chicago will love him.
Mike is not practical. He said he's not coming.
Yeah, he said he's not leaving.
He's not leaving.
He's under contract. He said save your time. Yeah. He is, I mean, you won't find a bigger fan of Mike Tomlin than I am.
We love Mike Tomlin, but we're not going to waste time talking about his candidacy because he said he's not a candidate.
No.
Did you see, it was a stat out there, it showed Mike McCarthy's record compared to Mike Tomlin. Very similar.
Very similar.
Yeah. Very similar.
Definitely. Mike Tomlin is easier to maybe like because he's never had a losing season. And some of Mike McCarthy's losing seasons have contributed to why there's some doubt about his next move. But Mike Tomlin, their records are very similar.
Larry is in Naperville. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
If I got to listen to another annoying, gum-chewing press conference from this Billy Donovan, I think I'm going to puke. And I don't understand what your solidarity. Maybe he wears flag and anthem when he goes out to dinner. I don't know why you guys love this guy so much.
That's all it takes.
You know, he's been here 5 years. 5 years. Does any other coach in Chicago get the kind of pass that this guy? guy's getting. Do you listen to these press conferences? He's the kind of guy that when you ask him what time it is, he tells you how the clock is made. Okay? That's what he is. He doesn't ever take accountability. You know, last night, you should have seen Kobe White at his talk in the locker room. Vucevic has to get up in front of the team and scream at them because they don't listen to him. They don't listen to him. You know, you like the way he plays, Mully? You like the way the Bulls play?
I said that I like the way they've played this year. I've seen a change in their style that is sort of accommodating what they have as opposed to the way they played when DeMar DeRozan was here. So they've changed their style of play. I think Billy has tried something different. I like Billy Donovan. I mean, is it a stunner that a Mike Mulligan likes a Billy Donovan? I get the suspicion.
Yeah, well, you know what, Larry?
I'm being honest. I really genuinely think he's done a good job this year.
We accept your criticism. It is fair because the Bulls have underachieved and we still like the coach. Maybe it's because of his explanations. He doesn't wear flag and anthem that we know of. He should probably. He would look very dapper in a flag and anthem shirt that I'm wearing today, by the way.
He could step up
very
his game.
Comfortable.
I'm
definitely
wearing a hoodie.
I know. Very, very, very solid.
Yeah.
But Billy Donovan, he deserves the criticism because the Bulls are underachieving, and right now they have bottomed out this season. Last night was a low point.
All right.
It's okay.
I thought we explained earlier why we differentiated between him and AK and all that. Whatever.
We did, but that's okay. Larry's going to have his say.
Yeah, it may be everyone's not listening to every minute. You can't hear it all, but I will repeat myself if I must. We got Bruce next. Yes. We're going to talk about the Cubs convention. David will be there. Sammy will be there. I would argue that David is a more popular figure for the entire city than Sammy is.
Nobody vows for me. No.
Dustin sure isn't. It's Mully and Hahn, the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Bruce Levine, and he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm all fired up for the all-Sammy weekend. That's going to be something to watch at the Cup Convention as the Score
is it going to be? Is it going to be all Sammy, or is there a surprise signing? Are they bringing? And now behind this curtain, I mean, could there be someone to help the current team?
Yeah, I think. My sources tell me that David Haw is going to add just another thing that he's going to be doing with the Cubs onto his media list. Is that what you're asking?
No, it's not what he's asking, Bruce. I will be there Saturday morning. I'm looking forward to working with you and Ryan McGuffey. But how about Alex Bregman? Might he make a surprise appearance? Could he be a guy who is in the news? Where does it stand with Bregman, and what's getting in the way of signing him to a deal?
Well, as I reported the other day on our website, 670thescore.com, that the Cubs have had some conversations with the agent. We know Scott Boras as well as being one of the top agents in the game, and that Bregman, who had been seeking a 5 or 6 year deal, is having difficulty getting what he wants and going where he wants. The initial 5 year, $156 million offer that Houston made was the one that he turned down, and it looks like it was a mistake for him. He wanted to stay there. They thought they could get $200 million in free agency. That's not out there right now for him. He's a terrific player all the way around. Power hitter, great defensive third baseman, great base runner, terrific clubhouse guy. Everything a team would want. But for the Cubs, it would be everything that they wanted in a short term. If you notice, there's really nobody signed past 2026. On this team other than Dansby Swanson. So there seems to be a method to what's going on out there, and that is short-term deals and trying to win right now. And he would fit in perfectly. We don't know if he's going to accept a short-term deal at this point. It's getting late. We only have 3 weeks left until spring training. We know that he's always loved coming to Chicago, that it's one of his favorite places. I think he would prefer a big city. The Yankees had talked to him at one point during the winter and had gone a different direction. So I think there's a possibility there for a short-term deal, but right now, up until a day and a half ago, they were still seeking a 5 or 6 year deal. Boston, Detroit, the main teams involved.
I'm curious, Bruce, what about the back end? You know, could there be a secret closer unveiled at and I don't know why I'm making it the convention. Just it's always fun to have something different happen. Is there who's going to close for this team?
Well, you know, again, the two big guys, Scott and there's Yates out there, two really good closers. They're still asking 4 and 5 years at, you know, $15, $17 million. Nobody's budging on that right now. The Cubs have always developed their own guys, and, you know, unless it's the short term for, you know, someone like Chapman, or when they had Kimbrel, or they brought in, you know, Davis in a trade on a couple-year deal from Kansas City, the pattern for, you know, Jed Hoyer is we're going to develop our own, and, we're going to continue to move in that direction. Right now, you know, if he added a closer, if he added a guy like Bregman, I don't think there would be any doubt that the Cubs are the clear favorites in the National League Central.
So, Bruce, Sasaki not going to the Cubs. We know that his finalists include the Padres, Dodgers, and Blue Jays, I believe. I thought we would know by now what his destination would be. Got to ask you about the rumor out there about the Padres. If he picks San Diego, would they be likely, are they entertaining trade possibilities for Dylan Cease? Is that something on the table?
Well, you know, his name has been out there a lot this winter. And, you know, Cease would make a great difference for any team. We know him so well from having played with the White Sox for so long. He had another dominant year last year. He's a free agent after 2025. Guess who his agent is? You know. Mm-hmm. It's Scott. So there won't be any extension talk. He'll be going to full-blown free agency a year, you know, starting in November. What is he worth for a one-year deal? Again, you know, you have Tucker on a one-year deal. You could possibly bring Bregman in on a short deal. You know, are the Cubs trying to win the World Series this year? Yes, I think they are. Would this fit in if for a couple prospects? You know, would you be willing to trade Casey back to San Diego where he came from in a deal for Cease? How much are you willing to give up for the 1 year? That's the question. Yeah, I mean, Sasaki adds a lot of depth to the Padres. But again, when you look at Sasaki, 101 in innings last year, the year before 91, how many starts are they going to really get out of him there? How many innings is he going to be able to pitch? So, you know, having Cease around still makes a lot of sense for the Padres.
I'm curious when we talk about this weekend and what's going to happen. How will the Sammy Sosa thing just be like a massive celebration? Is there any? Does he need to say anything? How does it work? And what do you expect to find out about him?
Well, David and I are going to find out Friday after the ceremony, right?
Right.
So, you know David's hard-hitting questions. I'm sure he's going to get right to it. You know, what type of steroids did you do, Sammy?
Has he admitted to that? I mean,
he has not.
No, he hasn't.
No, yep. No.
He has apologized. I am curious what he is apologizing for.
Well, and that's a fine question. It's a good way to start it off. But I think it is.
I say go right to the type of steroid.
Yeah. Yeah, let's know what it is. You know, I mean, what made you the most prolific home run hitter in your era and the top home run hitter in the history of the Cubs? But, you know, seriously, it's going to be a celebration, and it's going to be well-deserved. 12 years of being one of the only reasons to go to Wrigley Field was the production, the hustle, and the respect that Sammy showed for the game. And I know people are going to, you know, scoff at that, but the respect that he had was that he hustled every single moment that he was on the field. He played for the fans. He played for trying to win. You have to respect those things. If those other things get in the way of your vision of Sammy, then you didn't watch him for 12 years perform for the Cubs.
Bruce, I think away from the Sammy Sosa thing, which I'm looking forward to, and I know we'll handle it because we have interviewed him before, and I'm grateful that he's, you know, coming and we're able to interview him again. But away from a lesser known guy, Michael Arias quietly was let go by the Cubs, designated for assignment. There was a time last year, I think in the midst of the season, we talked about him being a closer option, a guy who was a converted catcher, I believe, and was making some progress as a closer. They DFA'd him for reasons that he no longer would fit on the 40-man roster, I believe. The Yankees get him for cash considerations. Are we going to be looking back at this quiet move in a couple of years and say, boy, that was one that got away?
I mean, it's a 100-mile-an-hour arm, so you don't take those things lightly. You know, your point's well taken. But the reality is he couldn't find home plate. I mean, you know, he's walking 40% of the guys that he's facing out there. So, you know, they felt that at this time, you know, they needed that roster spot. They hoped to get him, slide him back through before somebody hit him on waivers. It didn't happen. So they DFA'd him, put him on on waivers. The Yankees took him. I you know, again, I hate to say it, but 98 to 100 mile an hour arms these days seem to be moving toward a dime a dozen, right?
Interesting. Well, I just think that, and he was a shortstop, not a catcher, but just after the Jeremiah Estrada experience, you wonder right. if that would have scarred them to the point where they did not want another hard thrower get out of their organization.
Yeah, the hard thrower and the pitcher, you know, becoming yeah. a pitcher, two different things.
Yeah.
And again, I in this day and age, when we talk about velo, you know, it gets the ultimate respect. Doesn't necessarily mean you're getting outs, okay? The Cubs have a full rotation. Think about this. Five guys in their rotation. Nobody throws more than 92.5 miles per hour, okay? That's an outlier. You know, I mean, the idea that you have, you know, a good rotation, I think most people consider the Cubs, what would you say, top 7-8 rotations in baseball,
mm-hmm.
you know, from what they did last year. But they're still, as you're pointing out, they're still looking for a power arm out there. I mean, Sasaki was that perfect, you know, young pitcher to continue to develop, who was averaging 97 miles per hour, wasn't going to cost them a lot of money. Unfortunately, the Cubs are in the Midwest, and he didn't want to play here. You know, that's just the sad story here. He's going to an indoor stadium in Toronto or two warm weather places in either San Diego or Los Angeles. So, you know, again, you know, how long do you go with the arm? Do you really think he's a prospect or not? Obviously, in this case, they took a pass and let Arias go.
You know, I saw the Cubs did sign seven players yesterday off the international market. I think there was a headline I read, might have been in Sports Illustrated, that said that they didn't make a big bang. There were no top 50 players among that group. I think they had five shortstops out of the seven players.
The White Sox did, though, Mike.
White Sox had a lot of players. They had a number 17 prospect internationally, and they got, what, five right-handed pitchers, among other things?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, those guys are years away from getting here, and there's a lot of young right. guys involved. But why, you know, given you're in the Rookie Sweepstakes and you lose it, why didn't you use that money to sign somebody to do something?
Great question.
Yeah, it is a really good question. I don't have the answer for that right now. We're going to talk to Hoyer about that tomorrow at the Cub convention. you know, as you mentioned, most of these kids are 16, 17 years old. The third baseman that the White Sox signed, Alejandro Cruz, is 17 years old. He got $2 million, you know, and it's like, okay, are we going to see him in 2 years? Is he going to be playing the hot corner for the White Sox, or is he going to be another washout? You know, again, White Sox are going for a top Cuban player, and he is considered that. So hopefully they get a little bit more bang for their buck this time. The Cuban direction hadn't worked as of recent time since Abreu. So we'll see. Robert's still out there as well. But I think the question, you know, deserves a better answer than what I can give you right now, Mike. You know, other than the fact that, you know, when you're going after these young guys, a lot of the teams had to go on hold because of Sasaki and the fact that you were going to want to offer him as much money as you could. And everybody only has between $4 and $6 million in international money. And, you know, Sasaki, who knows what he's going to get from the Dodgers or San Diego? Are they going to be able to give them $4 or $5 million? You don't really see the Dodgers and Padres on that list right now of having given out a big amount of money in the international market here. So it's going to be intriguing to see what he gets and how that impacts the rest of their international drafting right now.
Well, it's going to be intriguing Saturday morning, Bruce. Looking forward to it. Inside the Clubhouse, 9 to noon, we're scheduled to talk to Justin Steele, Kyle Tucker, Sammy Sosa, our interview, Tom Ricketts, and Crane Kenny. That's going to be a jam-packed show with Ryan McGuffey at the Cubs convention. Come say hi. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bruce, thanks for everything.
See you,
all right, guys. Have a great day.
Wow, you're going to have some of you stay quiet with that many people.
I hear you. I know. Listen, I'm just going to direct traffic. I say, Bruce, go. Tom, go. Sammy, talk. I don't have any other purpose except for that.
I love the question, Sammy Talk. That's awesome.
Talk about. Talk about. I love those questions.
I love those questions. I know you do.
Yeah.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Hola, Sammy Sosa here.
I don't think you even follow baseball, David.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Catching strays.
Wow, how about that? Brandon taking a gratuitous shot at Mr. David.
Well, I have been away from inside the clubhouse for a while during baseball season, but during football season.
Is this a one-off, or are you going back permanently?
We're talking. What are you doing?
We're talking.
I think this weekend is going to be a lot of fun. Uh-huh. I think with Sammy in town, there is curiosity and there is excitement, and he's coming back to the Cub Convention.
Yes.
And I do wonder what the reception will be like. I think it'll be very enthusiastic.
When's the last time he was at the Cub Convention?
Oh, boy.
Was there a Cub Convention when he left?
I don't know if there was a Cub Convention back in 03, Dustin.
Yes, it started in 89.
It would have to be. It's been 20 years of radio silence, essentially. Mm-hmm. He last played for the Cubs in 2004.
Have you been doing your back exercises?
So we actually talked to the creator of the Cubs convention on the Fly the W670 podcast.
Is that up
John
now?
McDonough?
John McDonough joined the podcast.
You did?
Yes.
Wait.
Wow.
I did not know this. When did you talk to John McDonough?
I did not talk to John McDonough. Crawley talked to John McDonough.
Crawley interviewed John McDonough. Is that on live now?
Did he get any answers?
Did you not share this?
Well, I mean, we talked Cubs. We didn't talk Blackhawks. We talked Cubs.
I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I have not heard from John McDonough.
Neither have I.
Since John McDonough left the Blackhawks, and I'm not sure anybody really has. What did he say?
Well, you'll have to.
No. I want a sneak preview.
Yeah.
You need to share here.
He's very proud. He's very proud of how it started out so small and where it is today.
The convention. And he brought the Blackhawk convention to the Blackhawks.
He did.
And that has been wildly successful. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Dustin's sitting on this information. You know how long it's been since John McDonough has done an interview?
You know how long it's been since Dustin booked John McDonough on the show?
Well, the trouble is we'd have to ask John McDonough about the Blackhawks.
Well, I think John McDonough would understand that.
But he did not get asked about the Blackhawks during this interview.
David, well, take a couple seconds and think it through. You're about to blurt out something there.
I'm blurting out the fact that
we have not heard from John McDonough in forever.
Now John McDonough has done an interview talking about the Cub convention,
yes.
And I think it's relevant to the weekend's events, so I understand why a Cub podcast would want to talk to the originator of the Cub convention, conventions in general. Great idea. Innovator. All the things that John McDonough used to be known for.
Sure.
But now that he has granted an interview.
Now you can ask him anything.
Well, I want to know if he's willing to talk about anything.
AMA with John McDonough next week.
Wouldn't you be curious?
Of course. I'd love to talk to John.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, what Dustin says is that there was an understanding.
You are full of surprises, Mr. Rhodes.
He's full of something.
He's full of surprises.
Surprise.
Did you know that they interviewed John McDonough?
I was the guy who just asked him whether he talked to him. I didn't know a thing about it.
I'm sorry, as much as I'm a listener
and a downloader of the Take the
it's not Take the North, it's Fly the W.
Fly the W. Who are you? Get me confused. As much as you know I love it, I haven't listened to this week's episode.
I love it too.
I haven't prepared myself for the convention.
You know what I'm doing at 10:05?
I'm going immediately to work out. You're going immediately up to the gym.
Yes, I am.
On the 14th.
And I'm going to work out. I'm going to try to get on the treadmill again today. And I'm going to put in the Fly the W podcast.
We should just tell. We operate out of the Prudential building.
Yes, we do.
It is a beautiful building.
Yes, it is.
We all park in the building.
Love it.
Which is different than the way things used to be. And we all belong to the health club,
yes.
Which is, wait for it, $50 for life.
For life.
For life. Now, what happens when they launch me? Am I still allowed in the building after they take
gotta
my power away?
Yes.
Can I still get up there?
You gotta keep you healthy.
They can't take that away. Oh no, they can't take that away from me. All right, we got to get a quick timeout in.
We're gonna go back to football.
We're gonna go back to football.
I want to make some points about Mike McCarthy when we come back.
Oh, good. I'll look forward to that. And will there be any John McDonough talk?
Probably.
All right, Mully and Haw on the score. Stop bowing.